taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
He'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome back to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. You know, I get asked this question quite frequently lately. What do? We look at the infringement on our rights. We look at things like mask mandates and vaccine passports and things like that. And we ask, what do we do? And the variation I seem to be asked the most is, how do you deal with a business that wants to require a mask mandate, that wants you to wear a mask in order to enter that premises? And those are two very interesting questions, and I want to answer them both for you. But I really need to set the stage. I need to put in some context so we'll understand not only, you know, what we're doing, but why we're doing it and how we're doing it. So I'm going to take some time, and I want to give you some examples of states and businesses that are dealing with things like mask mandates and other requirements, and then we'll talk about, well, what do we do as citizens in a free republic? What are we to do? But I'm going to start out with a story that actually comes out of New York City. Mayor de Blasio encourages NYPD to confront non-criminal conduct they deem hateful. Now, this actually comes from an article in the Federalist, although I have seen this reported in several different locations. But think of what the title says and what's being suggested, that the mayor of a city is encouraging law enforcement to harass people simply because they think what they're doing is hateful. Quoting Mayor de Blasio, quote, "I assure you, if an NYPD officer calls you or shows up at your door and asks about something you did, that makes people think twice, and we need that." Does that sound like a free republic to you, where your rights don't matter? Now, I need to make a distinction here, because this is a city. This is a city of New York. It is a subdivision of the state of New York. Therefore, it is not covered by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, because the First Amendment, the first few words are, Congress shall make no law. So what Mayor de Blasio is encouraging was not done by Congress. It was not done by an act of Congress. But it is a violation of the New York State Constitution. New York Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 reads, "Every citizen may freely speak, write, and publish his or her sentiments on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse of that right, and no law shall be passed to restrain or abridge the liberty of speech or of the press." What we have here is a mayor and not using legislation, simply using, I guess, the equivalent of an executive order to tell the police, we don't like what you're, you know, if you don't like what someone's saying, if you don't like what someone's doing, if you don't like what someone's writing, get in their face. Oh, we're not going to charge you because what you have done isn't criminal, but we're going to harass you. That's what this is. This is government harassment of the citizens of the city of New York that the political machine, those in political office, disagree with. Don't believe me, just look at what's referred to as hateful. It's now considered hateful to note that there were problems in the 2020 election. It's now considered hateful to question the acts of certain politicians, either because of their race or their sex. Anybody remember Barack Obama? Anytime you disagree with Barack Obama, you are called a racist. Well, that's hateful, if not criminal, which means in New York City, you could be stopped by the cops. a law enforcement officer can interfere with your life doing this. Now, here's the point you may have missed, and think about this for a minute. The Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, while the First Amendment doesn't apply to the states, the Fifth Amendment sure does. Right? Article 6, Clause 2, the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land, and all judges in the state, in every state and in the United States are subject to it, are bound by it, actually, is the term that is used. Every law enforcement officer swears or affirms an oath to support the Constitution, and the Fifth Amendment says you will not be deprived of your life, liberty, or property, which means when a government official, including a law enforcement officer, stops you on the street, knocks on your door, tries to intimidate you to not act within your liberty, not based on anything criminal that you've done, just because they don't like what you've done. That's a violation of the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. It is depriving you of your liberty. It is depriving you even of the property of your own body and actions and what you do with it. And this is being done by law enforcement officers. It's being done under color of law, which means it's also a violation of federal law. In fact, what Mayor de Blasio is encouraging NYPD officers to do is a federal crime. I want to say that again. What Mayor de Blasio apparently is encouraging his police officers to do is a federal crime. See, Mayor de Blasio said that even if something is not criminal, a perpetrator being confronted by the city, whether it's NYPD or another agency, and being told that what they're doing is hurtful to another person and could, if repeated, lead to criminal charges, that's another important piece of this puzzle. You're right, because what you're doing there is intimidation, and it is a federal crime. 18 U.S. Code 242 makes it a federal crime to deprive someone of a right protected by the U.S. Constitution under color of law. It is punishable by up to 1 year in jail. So if anyone in New York City is approached by law enforcement and told what they're doing is hateful, is if their life is being disrupted, inform that law enforcement officer that if they persist, you will call the FBI and file a complaint because they're committing a federal crime. Now, do I expect the law enforcement officers to simply walk away? Well, some may and some may not. See, one of the questions I'm asked frequently is, well, what do we do with law enforcement officers? I have a placard I've put on my website. Go to constitutionstudy.com, search for Knowing Your Rights. You'll find a PDF placard. You can take that and you can hand it to them. I created it for businesses to post in their windows, but it shows the rights that are frequently violated by things like mask mandates and others we'll be talking about. But it works just as well here. So you can show that law enforcement officer, see, you are depriving me of my liberty. You are detaining me. You're preventing me from going about my life unmolested by the government. You're depriving me of my liberty. You're doing it without due process. You have no probable cause, any evidence that I have committed a crime. In fact, Mayor de Blasio's order says right here, even if something isn't a crime, right, you are harassing me under color of law. You're depriving me of a right protected by the Constitution of the United States. Right there is quoted 18 U.S.C. 242. That means you are committing a federal crime punishable by up to 1 year in jail. You, personally, we're not talking about suing the city. I'm saying you, law enforcement officer, you are breaking the law. You are violating your oath, and I will contact the FBI and file a complaint. I will ask for an investigation into this. And I want you to know that if you persist, I will attempt to hold you criminally liable. See, it's one thing for a law enforcement officer to say, well, we'll sue the city. No skin off the officer's nose. However, if the officer is potentially facing jail time. Oh, and by the way, if they continue to detain you against your will, if they use force, that 1 year can go up to as much as 10 years. So if the officer uses force or even threatens to use force, they can face up to 10 years in jail. Now, again, some officers will look at that, go, wait a second, maybe they'll back off and walk away. And some won't. And you have to make a decision. And I recommend you think about this before you encounter this situation. What do you do when the government is breaking the law and attempting to intimidate you, arrest you, whatever? What do you do when you're faced with that situation? Think about it beforehand. Now, again, I've said, warn them. Let them know that if they continue to detain you, your first phone call will be to your lawyer. Your second phone call will be to the FBI. Now, do I really expect the FBI to investigate based on some person's complaint? No. The FBI is part of the federal government. They're another law enforcement officer. We have the Brotherhood of Blue. And trust me, I love law enforcement officers. The vast majority do a difficult and dangerous job, often for relatively little pay and a lot of grief from the people they're working with. But we have to recognize that there are bad apples. There are people who, there are officers and deputies that will, that are not worried about the law. Okay, what do? You tell the officer they're breaking the law. They say, I don't care. You have to stop doing that. Well, you have to decide, is your liberty worth going to jail? Now, an interesting statistic, and take it with a grain of salt, right? I haven't seen actual numbers, but it is estimated that only about 3% of the colonists actually fought in the Revolutionary War. Not 30%, 3%. That means 3 out of every 100 citizens of the colonies actually fought. That means the vast majority of the American people are not prepared to stand up to a law enforcement officer and risk jail time. And I understand that. I don't even have a problem with that. So each and every one of us has a life to live. We have our own demands. We have our own priorities. We have our own responsibilities. But I highly recommend that you decide before the encounter, how far will you go? How far will you push this? Are you willing to go to jail in order to protect your right to live your life without government interference, to not be deprived of your life, liberty, or property without due process of law? I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about resisting arrest. I'm talking, are you willing to stand there and say, no, officer, what you're doing is wrong? And when the officer pulls out the cuffs, okay, cuff me up. Understand, my first phone call is to the lawyer. My second phone call is to the FBI. Because you are committing a federal crime right now. Now, I hope to never end up in that situation. But I want it to be a thought experiment. And I hope most of you never end up in that situation. But I want you to think, what will you do to protect your rights? And by extension, the rights of your children and your children's children. You see, if a city can harass you, if a city official can harass you because they think what you're doing is hateful, well, how long before it's not just New York City? How long until it's all the cities? How long until the states and even the federal government decide what is and is not acceptable behavior? They ignore freedom of speech. This suggestion by Mayor de Blasio ignores the Constitution of New York State. Is he going to get away with it? I mean, that's an important question. It's one we should all be thinking about. Now, I have another article in here that I came across, which I found sort of interesting. Where'd this come from? This came from, from the Epoch Times. I get a lot of good stuff out of the Epoch Times, by the way. But this is an article from the Epoch Times, and it talks about a Marine Corps officer. Let me read a portion of it. It says, a slide used in a Department of Defense training manual identifies Catholics and evangelical Christians as, quote, religious extremists, close quote, along with members of the Ku Klux Klan, Al-Qaeda, and Hamas, according to a Marine Corps officer. So let me see. If you are Roman Catholic, if you go to Mass every week, you're considered as dangerous as the Ku Klux Klan, as Al-Qaeda. If you're a evangelical Christian, which, by the way, it's interesting because I don't think there's actually a legal definition for that. But if you apparently, let's say you're just a devout Christian, you're a rigid religious extremist. You're ready to go blow up people like Al-Qaeda or Hamas. That's what the Marine Corps, that's what the Department of Defense is being taught. This came from a DOD training manual. Now, let's, again, we're dealing with the federal government, so what we have is not a law prohibiting the free exercise of religion, but we have our military being trained that religion is so dangerous that I mean, the very idea of being a member, can you imagine being a member of a church being treated like you're in Hamas or Al-Qaeda? Can you imagine coming back to the U.S., handing your passport and having it say, oh, by the way, you go to, you know, such and such Baptist church or such and such Presbyterian church. Well, that's considered a evangelical church. Therefore, you're a religious extremist. We can't let you back into the country. Imagine you're overseas and you head to the embassy and you meet the Marine guard at the gate to the embassy. You show them your passport and it says, oh, no, you're part of a, you're a member of a church. We can't let you in. You're a terrorist. You're a religious extremist. Quoting from the article again, included among those listed are Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and the Ku Klux Klan as groups that use or advocate violence to accomplish their objectives and are therefore rightly classified as extremists. Really? Name me more than I'm sure there are a handful of churches that are that advocate violence simply because we're humans, human nature. There's got to be them out there. But I don't remember the Pope telling Catholics around the world to use violence in order to convert people. In fact, I seem to remember. Now, there was a time, right? We had the Crusades. That was several hundred years ago. And while I'm not a Roman Catholic, I asked those Roman Catholics in the audience, have you seen a papal bull or some other document that says, by the way, it's okay to use violence to convert people? Reading again, but also include our evangelical Christianity and Catholicism, who most assuredly do not advocate violence. Well, that's true. Quoting on, surely the fact that evangelical Christians and Catholics hold fast to millennia-old views on marriage and human sexuality does not make them extremists who are unfit to serve. So now what they're saying is, oh, by the way, I guess if you're gonna join the military, if you're going to serve your country, they're going to ask you, are you a member of a church? And if it's a Roman Catholic church or if it's an evangelical church, are they going to say you can't serve? Is this not the suppression of the free exercise of religion? Can you describe it any other way? This is exactly why we have in the First Amendment, that they are prohibiting, they are effectively prohibiting you from, in this case, I guess, serving in the military, for freely exercising your religion. A religion, by the way, that was an important part of the founding of this country. Now, we have to understand, this report is not a law. This training manual is not a law. But we do need to look at it and say, wait a second, if our military is being trained that being a Christian, or at least a serious Christian, is equivalent to being in the Ku Klux Klan, how long before religious discrimination becomes a fact of life in America? And in many ways, it already is. But that's a fodder for another show. But if the DOD, if our military is being trained to look at anybody that is religiously devout as a extremist, as a potential terrorist, how long before law enforcement is trained to look at Christians as suspect? To look at someone who's a Roman Catholic or a devout or other devout Christian and treat them as second-class citizens? Assume they are dangerous? Maybe they should be stopped and frisked? Maybe they should be denied access to certain secure areas because, well, they're potential terrorists. Will one day being a Christian be a knock against you in a court of law? If you are on trial, if you're accused of a crime, will somebody ask, well, do you go to church? Yes. Well, then, boy, you're more likely to be a terrorist. Will that be used as evidence against us? Now, is that happening today? No, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take a crystal ball to look and say, if we're going to start training people to treat certain religions as inherently dangerous, as violent, without any evidence to prove it, that's going to go from a merely, training question, maybe a back page story. How long before that becomes a serious impact on religious freedom in America? And let's not back up from the government. Okay, so maybe the government doesn't do it. How long before businesses look at you and say, you know what, I'd love to hire you for this job, but you're a religious extremist. What do you mean? Well, you go to church every Sunday. You're a religious extremist. I can't have a religious extremist in my business. Gee, you'd be great in that retail position, but you know what? You wore a St. Christopher medal. You're obviously a religious extremist, and I can't have that in front of my customers. It's not merely a question of what the government does and does not do. It's what society's changing and how that society is changing. How we look at people that are different from us. Do we look at someone that is different, that looks different, that acts different, that thinks differently, that believes differently, and we say, I disagree with you, but I give you the authority. You have the right to do that. See, when I was younger, when I was a kid, we used to say, I may vehemently disagree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And now in New York City and now in the Marine Corps, at least according to training, sure, you may vehemently disagree. Therefore, we're going to tag you. We're going to mark you as hateful, as extremist, as dangerous to society. Why? Because what's dangerous to society can be controlled. And all you have to do is look at a little bit of history. Whether it's Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia or even Mao's China, and you look at how the people were trained, were exposed to this idea that if you're different, you're dangerous and you must be punished. It does not take a rocket scientist to look at that and say, we've got a problem. And again, I'm not pointing my finger at the DOD directly. I mean, what the DOD is doing is wrong. It is religious discrimination of maybe not the first magnitude, but a serious case of religious discrimination. And they work for us. The DOD gets their marching orders. Their rules and regulations, according to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, come from Congress. And the people in Congress work for us. So maybe it's about time We let them know that that is unacceptable behavior from an employee of the people. If a government entity, in this case, the Department of Defense, is going to become a religious discrimination arm, if they're going to train their people to discriminate against certain religions, then the rules and regulations that Congress has created are flawed or they're not being followed. In either case, it's up to Congress to deal with that. But Congress isn't going to deal with it until their employers tell them that is unacceptable, that they must do something about it, or else we'll find employees who will. So as we head out to break, I do want to thank everyone that has helped the work that we do here at the Constitution Study. Please head over to the website, constitutionstudy.com. You'll find out more about what I'm doing. You can access my books and other material. You can find other articles that I write. You can purchase my books on Amazon or on the website. But I also want you to consider the other groups and organizations, groups like Institute on the Constitution that help me get this message out, get this message to you, and help you not only teach yourself, but teach the rising generation to be free. So again, head to the website, constitutionstudy.com, to find out more about me and the work that I do. And you can find out more about my show here on America Out Loud and get all the latest podcasts. If you go to the menu at America Out Loud under our shows or schedule, you'll be in the know. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list, and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We're here at the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and we're working hard to return the Constitution to its rightful owners, we, the people of the United States of America. Now, in the first half of the show, I talked about what was going on mostly at the federal level, or in the New York, what's going on in New York City and with the Department of Defense, and the rules and orders and instructions that are being given. I want to spend this half of the show talking about some concrete examples of what happens when governments are out of control And we, the people, don't do our job to act as their overseers. So the first story I want to bring to you, let's see, where's this one come from? This comes from, again, from the Epoch Times. Again, I get a lot of stuff from the Epoch Times lately. Talks about a Michigan barber who was fined $9,000 for opening his barbershop and cutting hair and going to a Capitol protest. Yeah, fined $9,000. Now, if we look a little closer, we'll see, if you look at the article, we'll see apparently he was fined $3,000 or a total fining of $3,000 by the Michigan Board of Barber Examiners for violating state sanitation and equipment regulations. I'm not sure what supposed violations this gentleman had, but I do have a question. Really, we need a board of examiners for people who cut hair. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not interested in going to a barber who, you know, uses dirty needles or doesn't keep the place clean, but aren't I adult enough to take a look at the place and decide for myself if that's where I want to do business? I mean, I have a barber. I have a guy in town, cuts my hair. You know, he does a good job. His shop's pretty clean. You know, so I go there. I don't need a state agency to determine if he's qualified. In fact, having a state agency, I've talked to him about this, having a state agency actually makes my haircuts more expensive. It doesn't make me any safer, but it does make my haircuts more expensive. Because when I go into his shop, if I go into his shop and the place is dirty, it's unkempt, I'm not going to get my hair cut there. But because he has to spend so much time and effort and paperwork and training, I mean, this guy has decades of experience cutting hair, but he needs a state official to tell him whether or not he's capable to cut hair. The very idea that he has to get permission from the state of Tennessee to operate his business is disgusting to me. It is absolutely nauseating. It is the worst idea of you have to go begging to the government in order to do business. They are depriving you of the liberty to do business without their permission. So I talk about the Constitution study. You know, it's a business, and I sell stuff, and Tennessee has a sales tax. So in order to be compliant and help fund the government, I have to collect sales tax for them. But to do that, I had to go to the county and get a business license. Now, it's only $15. We're not talking about exorbitant amounts of money, but the very idea that I have to get permission from a government agency to operate a business is disgusting. It shows just how far we have gone from liberty to tyranny in this country. When you can't operate a business, you can't cut hair without a government official telling you you're qualified. And I can't sell my books online without the government saying, yes, you are a business. When did we start working for them? When did they become our rulers rather than our servants? That's what I want to know. So this man was again, his name is Carl Menke. He was fined $3,000 by the board examiner for some violations, which they don't document in the story. But he was fined $6,000 for participation in a May 2020 demonstration at the Capitol in Ingham County. Now, this apparently is being reported by the Associated Press. So now, when he exercises his right to peaceably assemble in a way some government official doesn't like, he's being fined. I believe his attorney is correct when he says, it shows their pettiness, it shows their vindictiveness. The lack of proportionality here is almost breathtakingly really. And I agree. This is disgusting. So if you live anywhere near this gentleman, anyway, if you live in Michigan, if you can get to his barbershop, it was, I guess it's an Owosso. I'm mispronouncing it, and I apologize, but it's between Lansing and Flint, Michigan. Please head to this man's shop and get a haircut. You know, Benjamin Franklin, after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, said, we must all hang together, or we will certainly hang separately. And that's an important part of understanding what we do. Here's a man, and I don't know about the sanitation. Here's a man that the state said you violated some equipment rules, and I have no idea what those are, but he was fined $6,000 for going to a rally. It doesn't say that he was disruptive, that he was violent, that he did anything wrong, but he went to a rally. And for that, he's being fined. And if you live in Michigan, if you live in America, if you believe in liberty and freedom, you should be disgusted by what's going on here. So again, if you can get anywhere near this man's shop, you know, somewhere between Lansing and Flint, please go get a haircut. If you live in Michigan, contact your elected employees. Your representatives are elected. They are hired by you as elected representatives. They are exercising your power in your name. That means whatever department issued that fine is doing that in the name of the people of Michigan. Are you, people of Michigan, are you happy that a barber was fined $6,000 for going to a rally? For exercising his right to peaceably assemble? To demonstrate as a petition of his government for a redress of grievance. Are you happy with that? Because you did it. You didn't do it personally. Your employees did it. They did it in your name. They did it by your authority. You might as well sign that order yourself. I don't care if you voted for them or not. They're acting in the name of the people. That means their actions are a responsibility of the people. So if you live in Michigan and you believe in freedom and liberty, you should be reaching out to your elected officials and ask them, what's going on here? Are we really to the point where we're going to fine people for showing up at a demonstration if it's not politically appropriate? This is Michigan, for heaven's sake. This is, you know, we've seen what's happened in Detroit. We've seen the demonstrations and the damage. And were those people fined? No. But a guy goes to a demonstration that's not politically appropriate. Maybe he's not happy with Governor Whitmer. And because of that, he gets fined. Now, apparently, the rest of the story gets into, he was cited several times for opening and operating his barbershop. It is now, quote unquote, illegal in Michigan to operate your business against the express wishes of the governor. It is legal in Michigan to deprive a man of his property. He has a property in his business. To deny him his property because the governor said so. Michigan is not a free state. Michigan is a police state. If police can show up at your door and cite you and fine you and try to shut you down for simply opening your business, then it is not free. It is ruled by tyrants. I don't care what a judge says. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the police say. The Constitution says you deprive this man of his property without due process. That is a violation of the Constitution. It's a violation of the law, and it is a federal crime. Let's start enforcing those laws. Laws don't mean anything unless we enforce them. They're meaningless unless they enforce them. Here's another example. An LA area bar owner had to break into his own business. I got this one from the Federalist. But apparently an LA area restaurant owner was forced to break into his own bar Friday hours after local officials boarded up the establishment. Now, this is not the first time. If you've followed what's been going on with these shutdowns, these tyrannical taking, well, they're not takings, these deprivation of property. There was a, I think it's Atlas Gym in New Jersey. They kept boarding it up the doors and they just kept kicking them down. These are the people who are standing up, not just for their rights, but for everyone's rights. Reading from the article, Tinhorn Flats co-owner Lucas Lepagine, I'm sorry, I got that completely wrong, had to use power tools to rip off plywood obstructing entrances to the building and back patio the morning after law enforcement arrested him on a misdemeanor for violating coronavirus guidelines by servicing customers on Thursday. Okay, California. This isn't L.A. This isn't Los Angeles. This isn't the City of Angels. This is Stalingrad. The very idea that a government has a city government has the authority to deprive this man of his property, his business, is disgusting. It is repugnant to the very idea of a free country. And the idea that law enforcement officers who should know better, they swore or affirmed an oath to the Constitution of the United States, the state of California. That beats what Governor Newsom says. That they would actually board up, they would arrest him for exercising his liberty, for operating his property, for committing no other crime than offending the governor of California and the mayor of Los Angeles, for not bowing to tyrants. And what's interesting is apparently they had the law enforcement put plywood on the back door entrance to the building itself, which means they actually had to climb over a fence to board up the business. They actually had to trespass. They had to violate the Fourth Amendment, come onto his property without cause, without probable cause, and board up his property. Again, this isn't a free country. Los Angeles isn't free. You're living under tyrants. The question is, what are people going to do? Well, this person, and I'm not going to mispronounce his name again. Nothing personal. I just don't like mispronouncing people's names. He's doing the right thing. He is standing up to the tyrants and saying, no, I am not going to bow to an illegal order. No. So I have another question for you. Listeners, if you live in the LA area, head to this guy's establishment, Tinhorn Flats. I don't know where it is in LA. It just says it's in LA. Find it. Look it up. Go to this man's business. Tell him you appreciate him standing for his rights. Because as Franklin said, if he's left to stand alone, he will hang alone. Unless the people of LA and the people of California and the people of this nation stand with him, he will hang alone. We must hang together. It is actually more important that you help protect this gentleman's rights than that you protect your own. And several heads just exploded when I said that. But I will repeat it. It is more important that we protect the rights of others than that we protect our own rights. Because if we protect our own rights, we're alone. If you protect your rights and I protect my rights, we're alone and we'll get picked off one by one. But it's when we stand together, when we protect each other's rights, when we have each other's back, when we make a point of doing business and supporting those who are standing up for rights, that is when we can have freedom and liberty. That is when we can stand up to a tyrannical government and say, no, this far and no farther. But we have to do it. We have to stop looking for someone else to fix our problem for us. We have to stop looking for someone else to come up with a magical, you know, elect the right person, they'll fix it. No. Government may not be the solution, but they certainly are part of the problem. We have to stop looking for someone else to fix this for us. We have to take responsibility for our actions, and that includes deciding where and when we're going to stand up to tyrants. Because that answer is important, and we're going to talk about that later in the program. But I also, next, I want to talk about what's going on in New York again. This time it's the state of New York, and they're issuing vaccine passports. That's right. You go to the state of New York, you can get an official app, what they call it, the Excelsior Pass, to show your papers. Yes. Now, in certain large venues, you have to show your papers before you'll be let in. You want to go to a concert, you want to go to a museum, you want to go to some other event, you have to show your papers. Now, what's interesting to me is twofold. One is, it's not government so much that's doing the prohibiting. It's the private businesses that are restricting our rights for us. It is the venues, the private property owners, that are capitulating to the suggestions, if not demands, from tyrannical government to say, you really should have some sort of use some sort of vaccine passport, some proof of vaccination before you let people in, because it could be dangerous and we might just have to shut you down. Now, I haven't seen any evidence of overt threats, but I'm sure that I'd be surprised if they're not there. But just imagine walking up to a business and being asked to show your papers. I mean, is anyone else disgusted by this? Does anyone else look at this and wonder what happened to the United States of America? Where business owners now are demanding capitulence in order to do business with them. They're demanding that you give up your rights in order to do business with them. And again, it's not just business. Hawaii, well, they're looking at adopting vaccine passports if you want to travel between the islands. You see, like, unlike almost any other state in the union, Hawaii is made up of 5 islands. So you can actually travel between islands and still remain in the state. And the state's going to say, no, you need a passport. You need to show your papers. You need to prove to us that you are innocent of being a carrier. Oh, yeah. This is guilt by association. This is guilty until proven innocent. You are assumed to be Typhoid Mary until you can come up with papers that show you're not. This is what happens when the American people don't pay attention to their government. When they don't stop them, when they start violating the law, they just get bolder and bolder and bolder. And now, poor citizens of Hawaii, they're looking at saying, you're not allowed to travel until you can show your papers and prove you're innocent. You are assumed guilty until you're proven innocent. On a similar note, the CDC recently gave the green light on travel for fully vaccinated people. Excuse me, when did we elect the CDC as king? When did Dr. Fauci get elected king? I don't need the CDC's permission to travel. The CDC has no legal authority to tell me I can't travel. They have no legal authority to exist. There is nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government, the United States, the authority to control healthcare. The CDC itself is a criminal organization because it was created in violation of the law. And now they deem to say, tell me whether or not it's safe to travel? I don't think so. The CDC can go pound sand. They have no legal authority to tell me I can't. Therefore, I don't need their permission to travel. And if they don't like it, well, guess what? Are we going to stand for freedom? Or are we going to be serfs? Same thing with, you know, Biden urging people to wear masks. I don't care, you know, President, you have no legal authority to tell me to wear a mask. It is a violation of your oath of office to support the Constitution to demand that people wear a mask. Now, you're simply suggesting that states infringe on the rights of the people. Well, guess what? If a group of people commit a crime and everyone is guilty of all the crimes that are committed as a group, right? So if, you know, 3 guys break into a convenience store and 1 guy shoots the clerk, they're all considered guilty of murder. So, Mr. President, if you are encouraging states to break the law, to infringe on the rights of the people, you are just as guilty as if you had signed an order yourself. Are we going to see impeachment articles? I wouldn't hold your breath. Now, in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin ruled that the governor exceeded his authority with mask mandates and extended lockdowns. Well, guess what? First, courts don't rule. Courts are not made up of kings and queens. They don't rule. They opine. They offer an opinion. You want an interesting take on that? Read Federalist Paper number 78. Alexander Hamilton goes in and says, they have neither force nor will. They have only judgment. So first of all, we'll get rid of the ruled part. But guess what? Okay, so Wisconsin, they said the governor exceeded his authority. So we have one example where a government entity, i.e. the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin, has looked at another government entity and said, yep, you went too far. Okay, so one out of how many did a government entity find out? There's a reason why I don't trust courts. Courts are part of government. So the fact that one court got it right, and again, I don't look at all the court cases. I don't want to imply that judges are evil, but I'm not going to trust my freedom into the hands of a government actor. I'm interested in their opinion. If they've got it right, great. If they get it wrong, ignore it. Because it's of no value. I'm going to talk about that in another episode. But I want to come back to my original point. You know, I've already talked about what do you do when confronted with law enforcement. But I want to take some time and talk about what do we do about all these businesses? These businesses that are capitulating to illegal government orders. So here's my recommendations. This is what I do. And I got to start with a little bit of backstory. I do a whole class on understanding what a right is. But I sum it up in two sentences, and there's one that really matters here. See, for you to legitimately exercise a right, it must not infringe on the right of another. So when you walk up to a business and there's a sign or a person that says you have to wear a mask or you have to do this or you have to do that, we have two entities. You have you, the consumer, and you have the business owner, and they each have rights. Now, both of them want to exercise their right. But we cannot legitimately exercise that right by infringing on the right of another. So you show up at the business and the business owner says, hey, the state requires me or the county requires me to wear a mask. By the way, I've been through this recently. To which I reply, the county has no legal authority to demand that you require masks to enter your business. That's an illegal order, illegal edict. It is a violation of the Fifth Amendment. It's a violation of the 14th Amendment. What they've done is illegal. And according to both Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court, that is null and void. By the way, you can read more about that, again, on Knowing Your Rights on ConstitutionStudy.com. Now, some business owners or their employees are going to look at that and go, oh, I never thought of it that way. Now, maybe they will suspend the mask mandate. Maybe they won't enforce it against you. Who knows? But some of them are. Some of them are going to require it. To which point I ask them. And again, the important thing is to ask questions. See, if we challenge people, they tend to bow up and fight back. But if we ask questions, we can open them up to these ideas. So the first question is, do you realize the state has no authority to deprive you of your property by demanding you operate a certain way, by demanding that you make people wear masks? They're depriving you of your property you have in your business. Do you realize they can't legally do that? Fifth Amendment, 14th Amendment. If they still require it, then I have another question for them. So you're telling me I can't trust you to protect your own rights. Why should I, if I can't trust you to protect your own rights in a small thing like a mask mandate, how can I trust you to protect my rights in a big thing. If I can't trust you in a small thing, why should I trust you in a big thing? How can I trust you in a big thing? And they may ask, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what if the government came up and said, I want all information on you? Well, they walk up to a shop and say, I want everything, all the information you have on Paul Engel. Well, do you have a warrant? No. We just want you to give you this or else. Now, if they won't stand up against a mass mandate, what makes you think they're going to stand up against an illegal search or seizure of somebody else's information? They're not. If they're not going to stand up for a mass mandate, will they stand up for up against a vaccine mandate? If they're willing to be deprived of their property without due process of law, do you really think they're going to stand up for anyone else's rights? If they're going to capitulate anytime the government says boo, how do I trust them? And ask it politely, how can I trust you to protect my rights while I'm on your premises or while you have any data of mine if you won't stand up for your own rights? And then follow that up by another question. If I can't trust you to protect me and my rights, why should I not let my friends, family, and other people know that we can't trust you to protect our rights? Again, that's a lot different. You know, I'm not big into boycotts, but the idea of asking people, why should I do business with you? Why should I trust you with my business, my information, my habits, if you won't protect yourself, much less me, in this small thing? It is a very different way of looking at things than I have heard from anyone else. I'm sure I didn't invent it. I'm sure other people have come up with this, but I don't hear this. And again, looking back at history, most of us remember the Holocaust and World War II. There was a gentleman by the name of Martin Niemöller, and he wrote a very interesting poem. It goes, "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. So ask your neighbors, ask the business owners, ask your friends, at what point will you stand up? Because if you will not defend the rights of others, there'll be no one left to defend your rights when they come for you." So think about that as you go through your day. Think about protecting not only your rights, but the rights of others. And be sure, please head to AmericaOutloud.com. Make it your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. It's important that we all do our part and share the stories, the articles, and the podcasts and videos so you can help secure America's future. And I look forward to seeing you here next time on the Constitution Study.